I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, an important but largely overlooked business story. It's about the U.S. Spanish-language media giant Univision and the telenovelas that have made it a success. We're going to tell you about it in just a few minutes. But first, to Illinois, where the state Senate is preparing to try Governor Rod Blagojevich after the Illinois House voted to impeach him on Friday. Blagojevich, of course, is accused of trying to sell Barack Obama's former seat to try to enrich himself. He then appointed Roland Burris to the seat, and Burris is fighting to be recognized as a legitimate holder of the seat, although most U.S. Senate leaders are still resisting. So we've called Chicago Sun-Times columnist Mary Mitchell for an update. She's been keeping us informed about all the doings on this story. Mary, welcome back. Thanks for joining us again.
Thank you.
Now, I'm guessing that the impeachment vote was not much of a surprise, but there were two people who, one abstention and one voted no. And I just wanted to ask you why.
Well, it's very interesting. The person who voted no is a Milton Patterson, and he is a congressman who really has been ill for the past year. He's probably been in the legislative body twice. He did not feel that he wanted to pass a vote affirming an impeachment, and basically because he seemed to me to have a misunderstanding of what the impeachment process was really all about. It was not about the criminal charges against Rod Blagojevich, our governor. It was about the various things that he's done since he's been governor that the legislative body felt was inappropriate. But the other point of that is that he represents a South Side district, this Mr. Patterson, who really kind of, I think, speaks to the issue that there are a lot of supporters in the black community for Rod Blagojevich. I know that's hard to believe, being an outsider, but when he was arrested, black ministers came to his house to pray for him. When he's been under fire, it's been black people who speak up and say he's innocent until proven guilty. He's done a lot for the African-American community, and I think many of those people are standing with him. And in a very strange way, Patterson's vote seemed to speak for that group.
Well, that was actually my question, because I wanted to ask, does the governor still retain any support, and which is what you've just been addressing, and you wrote about that recently. And is that support going to be relevant as he faces his impeachment trial in the Senate, which I believe starts in a week or two?
Yeah, but it won't be relevant unless the people who are supporting him end up in a jury somehow, or even if they're not sitting in the Senate. But what it does is put pressure on the people who represent those districts, the senators, to look at this case and maybe, you know, give the governor the benefit of the doubt. It certainly emboldens the governor to do what he did on last Friday, which is come out and hold a press conference in the face of all of this. So it's very bizarre, and it continues to get more bizarre by the day.
Do you have any sense of how the governor is being viewed statewide? I know you mentioned that there's kind of a locus of support in a particular community for particular reasons, but statewide, for example, do you have any sense of how people reacted to that press conference, which was being described by some commentators as bizarre? But
it was bizarre, and I think statewide, this is not a popular governor in the first place. He probably has more support in the city of Chicago than he does downstate or elsewhere, because he's been an absentee governor when it comes to the mansion. He conducted business from his home or from a downtown office. He didn't like to be in Springfield. He was estranged from the House of Representatives. People loved him and expected a lot from him since he was the first Democrat to be elected in 25 years, and they were rebuffed. He gave them nothing. So I really do believe that the support that he has is grassroots support, the pastors and the activists and these kind of people. But in terms of folks who are in leadership, he has no support.
Talk to me about Roland Burris, if you would. You've written some, I don't know, fairly tough columns now about him, saying that he doesn't seem to grasp the reality of why the situation is being viewed as it is. Do you have any sense of whether there's grassroots support for his quest to be seated? I mean, he's insisted. He appeared on Face the Nation over the weekend saying, look, I was legitimately appointed. My papers are in order. We need to get to the business of representing the state. You also have pointed out, as have others, that has not fared well in a number of statewide races, doesn't seem to have that much support, say why. But how do you think people in the state are viewing his determination to be seated?
Well, people are saying, let's get on with it. It's an embarrassment. The fact of the matter is, Governor Blagojevich, given all his trouble, still was able to land a knockout punch when it came to the U.S. Senate, because there's nothing they can do to not seat him. They can delay and delay and delay and stall, but eventually they're going to have to seat Roland Burris because they can't get around the fact that he was appointed by a governor who was still a sitting governor and had the authority to do it. A lot of people here just want this story to go away. And again, we have the whole race issue. There are no African-Americans serving in the Senate. Roland Burris has been able, and Congressman Bobby Rush has brought up that issue repeatedly. Roland Burris does it in a very sly way. He doesn't, you know, come out and say it. But basically, he is reminding people that he is a qualified person, and there are no blacks in the Senate, and he should have that seat. So he has grassroots support as well. But the majority of people just want this story to go away.
But it won't go away if he's seated, if he is seated. Well, I guess there are two questions there. If he's seated, will people perceive that as an adequate resolution of this matter? And if you feel comfortable predicting this, do you think in the end he will be seated?
I think he will be. I think he will be seated because this is a story that is a distraction and it's an embarrassment to Illinois. That's first of all. Second of all, 2 years. He's going to fill the seat for 2 years, and then it's going to be an election, and folks who did not like the way he got that seat will have an opportunity to come out and cast their vote. So he will have to compete for that seat, and if the history his history serves us, you will see that he will have a difficult time holding on to that seat.
Mary, do you mind if I ask you, we only have a couple seconds left, you're saying that people just want this to go away. How do you feel about this story? Do you feel, does this offer anything interesting for you to reflect upon, or do you kind of wish it would go away too?
Well, it's symbolic of what ails Illinois politics. Self-serving, people are too self-serving. I have great respect for Roland Burris, except that I think that he's symbolic of what's wrong here. He cares more about his own career and advancing his own, career than he does the reputation of Illinois. So we need a clean house here. We need a clean sweep. And so I think this is an important story because it airs out what's wrong. Now we can look at it and adjust our moral compass, if you will.
Chicago Sun-Times columnist Mary Mitchell, telling it as she sees it, joining us from her office in Chicago. Mary, thank you so much.
Thank you.